World Cup Talk. Christina here with the storylines that matter most in football today. At this World Cup, the hardest thing is not winning once. It is surviving the emotional aftershock of a night that changes everybody's expectations. And that is exactly where we are today. Because England got through Mexico in one of the matches of the tournament, Norway knocked Brazil out, and the United States suddenly have a completely different conversation on their hands after Follerin Balogun's suspension was lifted. What makes today feel different is that the bracket is not just tightening, it is becoming more personal. Yesterday, the question was whether pressure favorites could hold themselves together in the heat and noise. Today, the question is which teams actually changed their future in the last 24 hours, and which stars are now carrying a different kind of weight. Let's start with England, because surviving Mexico at the Azteca has changed the tone around them. Several outlets focused on the sheer chaos and emotional force of that match, and Reuters emphasized Thomas Tuchel praising England's heart after they battled through a Mexican storm. The fact is simple. England are through to the quarterfinals after a violent emotional test, and in pure tournament terms, that matters. But for me, the bigger story is that they did not come out looking calm or complete. They came out looking scarred, resilient, and still a little vulnerable. That matters because the last two episodes already lived around England's pressure environment. So if we are going back to them today, it has to be because something truly changed. And it did. England are no longer just walking into atmosphere. They are now walking out of it. With a quarterfinal against a Norway side that has just done the most disruptive thing of the knockout round. That is the real shift. The question is no longer whether England can handle noise. The question is whether they can handle a team that suddenly believes history is available. That is where the tension actually is. And that takes us straight to Norway, because this is the result that changed the bracket. Multiple reports and match recaps converged on the same basic reality. Norway beat Brazil 2-1, Erling Haaland delivered again, and goalkeeper Ørjan Nyland had a defining penalty save in a night that flipped the expected path of the tournament. This is not just an upset for the highlight reel. It is a bracket path change with emotional force, because Brazil were still one of the names everybody instinctively looked for when imagining the late rounds. Honestly, what I find most interesting here is what Norway represent. Haaland is obviously the headline figure, and he should be. When a star of that size turns knockout matches into personal leverage, you do not bury that under generic team form. But the human face of this story is not only Haaland scoring. It is also the team around him suddenly believing they belong in a tournament tier they were not expected to own. Brazil carried history. Norway carried conviction. For one night, conviction was stronger. That is why this story is bigger than it looks. The Brazil side of this story also stayed alive after the final whistle, because Neymar then announced that he is stepping away from international football after Brazil's knockout loss. That moved fast across major outlets, and while the emotional framing varied, the symbolic meaning was clear. This is not just about one eliminated favorite. This is about a generation marker. Neymar has been one of the defining personalities of the modern World Cup era, and even when his tournament role changed over time, he still represented Brazilian expectation, glamour, and burden all at once. So when he exits on the back of this defeat, the story stops being a normal elimination story. It becomes a passing of the torch moment mixed with disappointment. And that is why I think this belongs high in today's episode. Not because nostalgia is the point, but because tournaments are remembered through people as much as through brackets. Brazil did not just lose a match. They may have lost the last World Cup chapter of a major figure. That matters more than the scoreline. Now to the United States, because this is where the North American context and the controversy story collide. Officially, Balogun is available again for the U.S. against Belgium after FIFA lifted his suspension, and that decision was quickly picked up across outlets including Reuters-linked coverage, NPR, ESPN, BBC Analysis, and others. There is also an extra layer here, because the reporting around political pressure and outside intervention has made the whole thing feel messier than a normal disciplinary reversal. For the U.S., the football meaning is obvious. 2 days ago, the story was adaptation without Balogun. Today, the story is reintegration with Balogun, but under a cloud. That is a big editorial difference, and it changes the pressure on Mauricio Pochettino immediately. He no longer has to prove he can survive without one of his key attackers. Now he has to prove the group can reset emotionally, avoid distraction, and turn this strange gift into actual attacking sharpness against Belgium. And from a North American tournament perspective, this is exactly the kind of story that grows beyond one lineup decision. It touches fairness, host region attention, public mood, and the suspicion that influence is never far away from major events. I think that is what people are underestimating. The U.S. did not just get a player back. They inherited a louder, riskier stage. That is the real pressure point. One reason that pressure point matters is Belgium's reaction. Several reports highlighted Belgian astonishment and anger at the reversal, which means the match now arrives with an extra emotional edge. So this quarterfinal is no longer just about whether the U.S. can ride home soil energy. It is also about whether they can live inside a match that the opponent may treat as morally distorted before kickoff even begins. That is not a minor subplot. That can change the emotional temperature of the whole game. That is why this story feels bigger than a team sheet. There is also one more thread from the last day that deserves space. The host region emotional picture after Mexico's exit. Mexico lost, but the reaction around that match made clear how much this tournament has been living through crowd identity, civic energy, and shared release. Some of the best reporting after England-Mexico was not just about tactics. It was about atmosphere, heartbreak, pride, and the feeling that the Azteca still has the power to make a World Cup match feel historic before the second half even starts. I do not think that becomes today's lead story, because the result and bracket consequences belong higher. But I do think it belongs in the shape of the episode, because one of the themes of this World Cup in North America is that environment is not background. It is part of the competitive reality. We have seen that with heat, with security, with transport planning, and now again with the emotional force of a stadium that made England earn every minute of survival. That is the broader trend to keep tracking. So where does all of this leave us heading into the next match day? England have advanced, but now face a Norway team that suddenly feels fearless. The U.S. have regained Balogun, but also inherited noise, scrutiny, and a more combustible quarterfinal. Brazil are gone, and Neymar's departure makes that exit feel historically heavier. And the tournament itself keeps telling us the same thing. The teams that survive from here will not just be the most talented. They will be the ones that can absorb emotion without losing structure. For me, that is the real story of today's World Cup. The bracket moved, but so did the human pressure inside it. And at this stage, that is usually what decides everything. See you tomorrow.